Good morning. I had a teacher in high school who always said that people need three things to live: something to love, something to learn, and something to look forward to. With these three things in place, my teacher would say that we would probably find meaning in life. And I think there's a good bit of truth to these words. Most people I know desire to love something, whether that's a partner, friends, family, God, all of the above. Most people I know desire something to learn, a skill, a job, an interest they are passionate about, or they'd like to learn more in their journey of faith. And in my experience, people desire something to look forward to: a vacation, basketball season, a phone call from a loved one living far away, or the ultimate peace that awaits us with God in heaven. And so while the first two needs are firmly rooted in the present, the third need for something to look forward to is also directed to the future. It is a matter of hope. And as human beings created in the image of God, we yearn for meaning in our lives, and hope plays a big role in our search. I believe that we all have a purpose, that we all have something to give, that we all are here for a reason. There is meaning to the lives that we live. And as people of Christian faith, we connect the meaning of our lives to the meaning of God's story, because in God's story we find our hope. And the hope we receive as we find the meaning of our lives within God's story is biblical hope. Biblical hope is more than seeing with the glass half full. It's not blind optimism, thinking happy thoughts, or pop psychology. Biblical hope is rooted in God's plan of redemption. The Apostle Paul calls us to embrace hope in our passage from Romans today. Now, in my sermons, I like to give some historical context to what's going on in our scripture passage, because there is a lot of life happening behind them, behind the words of our Bible. I like the idea that the Bible is the living word of God. All of scripture was written at a point within human life and history. It is a product of its place and time, but we also find meaning in it for our lives today. We find ourselves and our stories connected to God's story, and it's up to us to discern how that happens and what that looks like. And that's why we as Mennonite Christians find Scripture authoritative for our faith and our life. Paul delivered the words of our passage to his scribe Tertius while they were staying in Corinth. And most scholars believe that Romans is Paul's final writing, and it's undoubtedly his most complex and comprehensive letter. The great New Testament scholar N.T. Wright says the comparison between Romans and Paul's other letters is like an alpine peak towering above hills and villages. And he goes on to say that when it comes to Romans, we are dealing with a work of massive substance that offers a breathtaking theological and spiritual vision. And at the heart of that vision is hope in God's plan of redemption. Paul's hope in God's plan of redemption emerges in the present, but it is directed toward the future. And that's why he opens up the passage by telling his early church listeners that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is about to be revealed to us. And the glory that Paul's talking about is the ultimate fulfillment of God's plan of redemption. That plan of redemption is underway. It's begun in Jesus, but it is not finished. God's kingdom is already here, but not yet in total fullness. Paul compares it to childbirth. All of creation, says Paul, is groaning in labor pains. And not only creation, but we ourselves groan inwardly. We wait for redemption. We hope for redemption. We expect it. We anticipate it. We can feel it emerging like sun rays through dark clouds. but it's not here yet. We cannot see the sun shining in its fullness, but we know it's coming. And we know that our destiny is salvation, but we cannot see it. And besides, who hopes for what is seen? For in hope we were saved. Hope is directed toward the future, but it is rooted in the present. We hope for redemption, but all we can do now is patiently prepare for it. So one of the theologians on this subject that has influenced me deeply is Dietrich Bonhoeffer. Has anybody heard of Dietrich Bonhoeffer before? Yeah, good. I took an entire class on him in seminary, if you can imagine taking an entire class on one person. So you're going to hear a little bit about Bonhoeffer in the years to come. He came of age in Nazi Germany. While the German church, the state church, largely supported the Nazis before and during their horrific crimes, Bonhoeffer resisted and helped found the Confessing Church. Confessing Church stood their ground as an outspoken Christian voice of resistance against Nazism. And for that, Dietrich Bonhoeffer was arrested by the Nazis. He was imprisoned for a year and a half and then executed in 1945 as the regime collapsed. And despite these hopeless times, somehow Dietrich Bonhoeffer was able to write groundbreaking theology, sermons and letters at a prolific rate from his dark and cold prison cell in a concentration camp. Bonhoeffer knew the horrors of the Holocaust and the unspeakable evil of Nazi Germany, and he lost his life for it. And yet he continued to write about hope until the very end. And it sure wasn't a hope in anything that could be seen or felt. It was a hope directed toward the future. A hope in God's plan of redemption despite the utter hopelessness of the present. In all of his writings, Bonhoeffer says that we as Christians in the church today live in a penultimate time. Penultimate simply means almost last or second to last. And like Paul's words today, Bonhoeffer encourages us to look forward to God's plan of redemption even though we cannot experience it yet in its ultimate glory. It's a matter of hope. Bonhoeffer is someone who embodied abundant hope. Can't imagine what it was like for him to sit in a Nazi prison cell and still proclaim hope in God's plan of redemption. That is abundant hope in a time when hope was hardest to come by. Now, it's impossible for us to relate specifically to Bonhoeffer's situation, but we can learn from it. I think it's true that we all have experiences in the course of our lives that cause us to lose hope. And these experiences of hopelessness may lead us to wonder if life is meaningless. How many of you have ever heard of the television series Lost? Got any Lost? Oh, quite a few. All right. What a few Lost fans here. Interesting. The show Lost begins as a plane full of people crash onto a mysterious island. And after they recover, the survivors of the crash begin communicating with each other. They start finding food, shelter. They're helping each other heal from their wounds. And they're doing everything they can to get rescued. And they assume that their rescue is coming soon. They set a massive signal fire. But help doesn't seem to be coming, and all they can do is wait. Survivors of the crash come from different countries and cultures. It's a diverse group, and as the show proceeds, it begins to use flashbacks to reveal the pasts of the various characters. And despite how radically different they are, you realize through the flashbacks that they all have one thing in common. They are all people confronting hopelessness and wondering if life is meaningless. One character was forced to join a gang to feed his family. Another is a surgeon who commits a terrible mistake on the operating table and can't perform again. One character is a drifter abandoned by her family. Another suffers a car accident and is paralyzed from the waist down. Start to get the picture. But a funny thing happens on the island. While the flashbacks show each character's life before the crash, the action on the island shows them suddenly confronting the issues of their past. The doctor is fixing wounds. The gang member is breaking up fights. Paralyzed man even begins to gain some feeling in his legs. Each character slowly discovers the true meaning and purpose of their lives again, while being completely lost on an island. So the beautiful irony of loss is that the characters are actually found by the island. They are being healed, finding meaning and purpose in their lives during the waiting period, while they prepare for the ultimate rescue to come. And in this way, Lost becomes an example of abundant hope. Biblical hope is the assurance that our future rests in the ultimate glory of God's plan of redemption. We place our hope in God's future, but like a boomerang, it comes back to us, giving us hope in abundance for our lives right now. We are empowered to live with abundant hope today because of our ultimate hope in God's plan of redemption. And I think that's good news. We all wait for the ultimate rescue of God with expectant hope. But like the characters of Lost, like Dietrich Bonhoeffer, like the Apostle Paul, we can live with abundant hope now during this time of waiting, and that gives new meaning to our lives today. Now, I grew up with a form of Christianity that was highly focused on our future salvation. I've talked about this before. We called it being saved. It wasn't until I started hanging out with Mennonites that I first truly heard that Christian faith is relevant for how we live now. And things started to make more sense from there. The biblical hope that we have in God's plan of redemption is the same hope that gives meaning and purpose to our lives in the moment, even when what's happening in our lives feels hopeless. We are all carrying something that feels hopeless. I think that's true. Maybe hidden, or it may be in plain sight. The medical diagnosis that changes your life. The bully at school who won't leave you alone. The parent you can never please. Desperate feeling that you won't be accepted for who you are or what you believe. In the face of hopelessness, we draw comfort from God's plan of redemption, and yet we are still confronted with the present moment. We can't see redemption yet. We can only see what's in front of us. Abundant hope is the courage to persist. Abundant hope is resilience. Abundant hope is faith. Abundant hope resists the urge to say it's all meaningless. Abundant hope is the strength to do what we can in the present while we pray for God's plan of redemption to rescue us, heal us, and give us new life and God's love. Our stories find new meaning when we see them in the light of God's story. Even when our stories are in their most hopeless hour, they are still part of God's story, and that is a story that ends with redemption. We may not see it yet, but do not lose hope. One day we will. May it be so. Amen.